Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Opening day in Philly has already been postponed, so technically baseball is not returning to Philly today. However, there was a big Philly return. I know, a little confusing. Speaking of confusing, the Philly return and the way I laid it out was somewhat confusing. The guy involved in the return is way more confused. See, what it should have been was a joyous, uplifting return. Instead, it was pretty much the exact opposite of that. Because by now, you have probably realized and figured out I'm talking about the return of the beard. Of course, Philly fan was not exactly hyped to see the big dude. And why would they be? Why would it surprise anybody anywhere that they were unhappy to see James Harden? Why would anybody be surprised by that? Philly fan is not happy unless he or she is unhappy. And you knew they'd be even more happy than they normally are when they saw the beard roll up on them. Of course they hate that guy. Considering he blew in there for a season and a half to allegedly make them a contender, and then when they did not contend, and he was horrendous in the playoffs, like he pretty much always is, then he gets into a huge public feud with the president of basketball ops over a new max deal that he thought he was guaranteed. And then the next thing you know, when he didn't get what he wanted, he did what he always does, he bounces. I know you all remember all of this. I know you all remember him going at Daryl Morey.
Daryl Morey is a liar, and I would never be a part of an organization that he's a part of. Let me say that again. Daryl Morey is a liar, and I would never be a part of an organization that he's a part of.
Hey, fat suit, as bad as the audio is, we heard you the first time. This dude's like, let me say it again. Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization with him ever again. One thing missing from that is Daryl Morey is a liar and a felon, and I got nothing to hide, so come on over, police. Usually that type of exit does not leave the home fans with the warmest feelings in the world. Generally, that's not the kind of stint that gets you inducted into the team's ring of honor, or gets your jersey retired, or gets you the key to the city, especially that city. And it sure as hell is not going to get you a warm welcome when you return. Of course this dude got booed unmercifully last night. That would happen in any town. Any town, but especially that town. Now, bear with me. I know it sounds like I'm wasting a lot of time on this because it's so obvious. It's so basic. Believe me, I know this is obvious, and I know this is basic, and I know that everybody knew this was going to happen. Everybody except the beard, for some reason. So what I'm trying to do here is help the beard out, because he seemed a little confused about his ass getting booed all night long. Even if it's not remotely confusing to anybody else on this planet. Now, credit where credit is due, because the Clippers did find a way to win that game. They did barely scrape by 1 point against the Embiid-less Sixers. And the fat suit did dish out 14 dimes, even though he was just 6 of 15 from the floor. But he got Alvy and I paid. And if you listened to Alvy and I yesterday, you got paid. Prize Pick Show. No Sharks. No Crazy League. The Clippers did win the game, and they needed that win. And I'm not going to ignore that part, especially given how badly they've been playing of late. However, I'm also not going to ignore the part where after the game, the beard stood in front of reporters and was acting like he had no idea whatsoever why Philly fan hates him and was booing him.
I mean, I expected it. I really don't know what it was about, but I expected it. So it is what it is. I don't even know why they were booing. I don't think. If you ask them, they probably don't know why they were booing.
I mean, how many ways can you contradict yourself in 10 seconds. I expected it. I don't know what it's about. If you ask them, they probably don't know why they were booing. I mean, dude, which is it? Did you expect it, or are you confused by it? It can't be both. You said both, but it can't be both. And for the record, why would you expect to be booed if you also think they have no reason to boo? You don't know what it's about.
I really don't know what it was about.
Really, bro, you don't know what it's about. You really don't know what it's about. I believe there's a meme of you rolling your eyes that fits that statement perfectly. You don't know what it's about.
I don't even know why they were booing. I don't think.
You don't know why they're booing, and you don't think they know why they're booing. You didn't actually say that, did you? I didn't hear that. Philly fan may not know everything, but Philly fan always knows why they're booing. Why don't you go ask one of them why they're booing? I guarantee not only will they have an answer, they may actually try to fight you. It's hard to get behind this dude, honestly. It's hard to get behind this dude, but it's impossible to understand this dude. It's impossible to understand what he doesn't understand right here. And I know there's a whole lot of you who want to run up in here and yell at me. Hey, Rome, it's just Philly fan. Philly fan is crazy. Philly fan hates everything. First of all, Philly fan does not hate everything. For instance, they love slinging D-cells. They don't hate that. They love chucking batteries. There's one example. Yes, they might be a little crazy, but in the best way, most of the time. But let me tell you about Philly fan. Let me tell you what they're not. Philly fan is not stupid. Philly fan may smash horse pie sandos, yes, but they do it for a reason. That's how they get down. That's how they celebrate a championship. They're not just randomly climbing up Criscoed light poles. They do so with intention. They do so for a reason. The reason they're climbing up greased light poles is they are celebrating victories and championships. They're climbing up greased light poles with intention and hammer tossing empty vodka bottles as well. They know why they're doing that. They like doing that. They don't hate everything. But I'll tell you what they do hate: Harden and his act. Just like they know exactly why they're booing him, and so does everybody else. It might have a little something to do with the beard bailing on that team after turning down a $35.6 million option coming off a playoff series where he scored 0 combined points in the fourth quarter of games 5, 6, and 7. And then even after that, turned down a $35.6 million option, then demanded a trade, then publicly eviscerated the team president and acted like you ripped him off financially yourselves, Philly fan, when he had $35 million sitting right there on the table. Is that enough reasons? Beard, does that clear anything up? Philly fan, let me know if I left anything out. Did I miss anything as to why you were booing him and you hate him? And if that weren't a goofy enough take from the fat suit, this might be even better. The part where he acts like Philly actually owes him something because he did them such an enormous favor.
Obviously, people always have a commentary on it or their side or an opinion just because they're outside looking in, but you know, for me personally, I felt like I did everything I needed to do in the sense of the year prior, you know what I mean, taking myself off the max to help the team get better for this city, you know what I mean, and for myself, obviously, but to win a championship. So things didn't work out. I wanted to get paid. They weren't talking. So, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, dude, come on. You didn't do anything for the city. I mean, give me a break.
Come on.
Now, at least you immediately caught yourself by adding, quote, and for myself. Obviously, I did everything for the city. Oh, and for myself.
And for myself, obviously, but...
Obviously, for myself. And it is obvious because this is who you are and this is what you always do. You always do for yourself, obviously. Essentially, at this point of your career, that's what you're now best known for. Doing for yourself, obviously. Oh, and, for myself, and owning a fat suit and not being afraid to rock it and weaponize it. Beard, stop. Stop acting like Philly fan owes you money. Stop acting like the entire world owes you everything. Stop acting like you've done no wrong and that everybody has done you wrong. Come on, man. Like you've had a perfect career. You've been a perfect citizen. You have never abandoned any situation when it didn't go your way and you didn't get what you want. Nobody not named you believes anything flying out your pie hole. It's not even like you patched things up with the guy running the Sixers, too. In fact, he made it pretty clear last night that he still hates Daryl Morey and that he will always hate Daryl Morey.
You think someday that you and Daryl will patch things up?
No,
hell no. I mean, fair enough. But I would say that the same thing applies to Philly fan. Philly fan, tell me if I'm wrong. But here's how I'm guessing you would answer some of those questions. Hey, Philly fan, do you miss the beard?
Hell no.
Philly fan, do you want the beard back?
Hell no.
Philly fan, are you worse off without the beard?
Hell no.
Philly fan, are you confused why you yourself was booing that dude last night?
Hell no.
And finally, Philly fan, do you think that one day you and the beard will patch things up?
Hell no.
There you go. There you go, Beard. Hope that helps. The only person in that building more confused than James Harden was Kelly Oubre. Like, when he takes it to the rack, why can't he get a call? We can get into this later, but for now, while Harden was dishing out dimes all game, Kelly Oubre was dishing out bitch bombs to all the refs at the end of the game. You can't hear it in the broadcast, which I do not understand, unless the NBA went in and killed and ripped all the audio, which I would not put up by them. I guarantee ears could hear it. But why can't the rest of us? He's all ears. All damn day. All ears. Every day. No days off. All ears. For some reason, we don't have audio, but you can see it clear as day, and you don't have to take a master class in lip reading to see what Oubre was saying. He's just pointing at the ref show, pointing at them all, and saying, "You're a bitch. You're a bitch. You're a bitch. Your mom's a bitch." Like, he's handing out cars like Oprah. You get a car, you get a car, you get a car. Oubre's like, "You're a bitch, you're a bitch, you're a bitch, your mom's a bitch." If I had known, I would have went more. Remember, pick less or more. I would have picked more than 3.5 bitch bombs for Kelly on Prize Picks. I mean, come on, how do we not have sound to this? We can get that crazy scream from that one Grand Canyon fan. You can pick that up.
It starts with the great hands.
But we can't get Kelly eloquently telling the refs that his mom is a bitch. I mean, some of the best sound anywhere. Some of the best sound of the year, of any year, mics everywhere, and they can't pick that up. Come on. You a bitch, NBA, for not giving us what we want. Speaking of that, I do appreciate you, Harden, getting more than 8.5 assists. No one's booing that. No bitch bombs there. That looked like a big number, but James got that easily, and we cashed that in.
I expected it.
Good. Love to see it. We did get that.
Love to see it.
There was actually an account online that said he even went as far as to say, your grandma a bitch. It's kind of harsh. Drag grandma into this. Oubre, can you imagine what the fine is going to be for that guy? I mean, and what do you do if your ears? When you lay the fine, when you smash this guy with the fine, is it pure bit or per bitch? Or is it the lump bitches all lumped together? Do you break it down a la carte? Or do you hit him for one lump sum? And then what would that be worth? I mean, is that a $50,000 fine? Is that a $50 million fine? Is that for life, for life, for life?
For life.
I mean, I hate to use that language on terrestrial radio, but that was incredible. This guy, and by the way, he was right. They admitted after the game they got the call wrong. They admitted to a pool reporter that they got the call wrong. This is why he said after contact, you a bitch, you're a bitch, you're a bitch, you're a bitch, your grandma's a bitch, your uncle's a bitch, you're a bitch, all of you. But no sound. They have sound of everything. You want a conspiracy theory? My conspiracy theory is the NBA ripped that sound, erased that sound, made that sound go away. They didn't want that out there. They disappeared that sound. Why? Why would you take one of the best things that happened all year and disappear it? Makes me want to disappear myself. Come on, man. Come on, ears. Are you hiding all that sound in your lobes? Come on. What? That sound went in those ears and never came back out? Are those ears a giant sound black hole where no sound can escape? Come on. Give us what we want. 1-800-63. Very disappointed in you, ears. How come you're not taking care of your league? 1-800-636-8686. And honestly, James Harden, dude, seriously, you're that confused why they're booing you? And even went as far as to say that the fans there don't know why they're booing you?
I don't even know why they're booing. I don't think.
Dude, it's got to be incredible to live in a world where you're that oblivious. It is a jungle opening day tradition. We are joined by the mayor, Sean Casey. Case, it is so great to have you on. How you doing, brother?
Romy, it's opening day again, brother. I love this. I'm so grateful to be on you every opening day, man. How are you, brother?
Man, I'm so great, and I'm so grateful to have you, Case, every opening day. It is so good to spend time with you. And before we get caught up, Sean, on Shohei and all the other big storylines of the day, I do want to start with something way more personal. You have been selected to throw out the first pitch before the Reds take on the Nationals at Great American Ballpark in the Natty. Case, you are beloved everywhere, but especially in Cincinnati, where you played 8 seasons, you hit 305. What does this organization, these fans, and this honor represent to you?
Oh, Romy, man, I tell you what, this place means everything to me. You know, I being around this crowd, knowing what opening day means in Cincinnati, knowing the history of the game, that opening day in Cincinnati is a national holiday. So I am so grateful that the Castellini family asked me to come out and throw out this first pitch. But for 8 years here, man, I grew up here in Cincinnati, basically, and these fans are incredible. The teams that I played on are incredible. Pokey Reese and Dimitri Young are here today being the Grand Marshal, so brings me back to some days with those guys. But, you know, the Cincinnati Reds organization, I owe so much to them, and I'm just so grateful I get to throw out the first pitch today, Romy. Now I'm going to go up to the bump, man, and let it fly and see what happens.
I love it. Pokey and Dimitri, what a couple of great throwbacks. Case, I'm so glad that you just said what you said, because I was going to say, not looking to be insulting to a former Major League great, but even as a nobody, I've done that, Case, and in that moment, 60 feet 6 inches feels like 60 miles, and we've seen it go terribly wrong, dude, for some elite athletes. Have you given any thought to your pitch selection and delivery?
Roby, I went to my local high school yesterday with my son Andrew. I'm like, all right, dude, we got to.
You walked it off. You did.
Yeah, so I
love it.
I had to, man. I had to. Did you?
I mean, yes, I did. Like, I did.
I don't throw off the bump ever. I was in the batter's box. I And I get out there and I was like, man, this is a lot further than I thought. And you know, and you're up on the mound. So yeah, and you know, it's different when you come out and there's 45,000 people screaming. The adrenaline spike happens, and I just got to go to, you know, get my deep breath, slow myself down, and I'm just going to let it fly, brother.
Okay, so I'm so glad that you laid it out like that, that even a major leaguer has those same feelings. Because when I did it, it was at the old Jack Murphy Stadium, and it was me and a few other people, and this 12-year-old kid. First of all, one guy says to me, Case, hey, Rome, and back then, everybody wanted me to throw it into the dugout, right? They were rooting hard for me to throw it into the stands or the dugout. And somebody says to me, hey, Rome, from the dirt or the bump? And I watched some 12-year-old kid, Case, a 12-year-old kid get up there and throw an absolute pee from the bump. I'm like, yo, from the bump, of course. But then the catcher, Brian Johnson at the time, he's standing up. I'm like, this is easy. But then he went into the crouch. I'm like, holy crap, I can barely see the guy. That target is so small. Dude, I've never, Case, when I hit his glove, that might have been the finest moment of my whole life. I've never been so relieved.
So
never.
Romy, you threw a strike right there.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, dude.
And when I walked in that dugout, I'm like, oh, my God. Thank God, man. They would have murdered me. So, you know. I can't wait to see it. Yeah. Thanks.
Romy, really quick. Also, I don't know if you saw the footage of years back. The mayor
yes.
of Cincinnati, Mark
yes.
Mallory. Remember, he threw it to Eric Davis? He threw it 45 feet to Eric Davis's right. And he was like, Eric Davis looked at him like, you serious, man?
You know what? I mean, my thought is better to throw it over the catcher's head by 100 feet than to throw it 45 feet, right?
Yeah, you cannot spike it. I feel the same way. I'm going nuclear loosh on this ball or nothing. You know what I mean?
The catcher, especially a big league catcher, will go up and get it. Like, who's going to catch? Do you know?
I don't know, but I somebody just asked me that. I'm like, I got to have somebody that's a good athlete. If I'm a little off, I need them to make a play for me.
That's it, dude. I get it. I appreciate that. All the kidding aside, it's such a great, great honor. Sean Casey doing what he does. He shows up on opening day. So, Case, I mean, as good of a feel-good story as that is, the gambling and theft allegations involving Shohei and his interpreter continue to overshadow everything else in baseball. I mean, what a wild, wild story. What was your reaction when you first heard it?
Yeah, I mean, probably what yours was, like, oh, man, like, you know, baseball doesn't need, you know, even his, you know, Otani's name mentioned with gambling at all. You know, obviously, you know, I'm hoping that he's cleared and everything like that, but even to have his interpreter involved in the gambling stuff, it's just never a good look. So, you know, I hope it plays out. I hope that everything's good because he's too big of an icon for this game. He's too big of an icon, you know, for it internationally to spread you know, what he is and what baseball is. So just, I didn't love seeing it, man. It was for a guy like that, it's a tough one.
No, it is. And I'm not trying to drag you or anybody into this, but Sean, was there ever a moment or a second when you first heard it where you thought, what if it was Ohtani? What if he was the one gambling? Did it ever seem plausible to you that it could have been him? Or knowing him the way you know him, did you know for a fact, no way would that guy ever do that?
I just felt like the way that I know him, the way I know him in the game the last few years, I was like, man, I can't believe that he would be involved. That's my first initial reaction was. And I'm starting to feel that I feel the same way now that, you know, he really did get, you know, robbed, and, you know, I don't know all the details, but yeah, I'm just, like I said, I hope it plays out where we could just move on and he could still be the best player in baseball.
And Sean Casey joining us. All right, Case, one thing I did not mention in the open, you were in the Yankees dugout for the final 3 months of last season as their hitting instructor. Man, that must have been something. What was that experience like?
Oh, Romy, it was incredible, man. It was really incredible. Obviously, Aaron Boone's a good friend of mine, so to be with him was awesome. But yeah, you know what? When you're the hitting coach for the New York Yankees, and you got a guy like Aaron Judge, and I always say, when the best person in your clubhouse is also the best player in the league, you know, it makes it a lot easier. So, just with so many good guys in that lineup, you know, watching Volpe, you know, coming into his own. You know, I'm looking forward to Stanton having a big year this year, a comeback year. Just all those guys, LeMahieu and Rizzo and Torres and stuff. It was such an experience for me. And Romy, one thing, brother, that I didn't realize until you're in that dugout is that New York vibe, that New York energy is so, it is different. It's at a different level. Everywhere we went, man, there was just a following that was unmatched. So to have that experience and to wear the pinstripes one time and to call Yankee Stadium, you know, my home field and be a part of that organization was incredible.
Case, that's an amazing thing. Like, you played as long as you did in different towns and different cities, and you had never felt that vibe before. And we're talking about a year where they won just 82 games, but it's just different. They're different. It's different. The energy is different. What about this year? Do you expect a bounce back year for that team, especially since they added Juan Soto's left-handed bat to the lineup?
No, I really do, man. I think Brian Cashman's done a great job going out to get Soto, I think, was huge. You look at that lineup now, top to bottom. I mean, you could mix and match at the top if you got LeMahieu, you know, if you got Verdugo or whatever. But when you start talking about Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, you know, Rizzo, LeMahieu, and if Stanton, I mean, Giancarlo Stanton might be the key factor in this whole thing. I mean, he lost almost 30 pounds coming into spring training. He hits the ball harder than I've ever seen any human being hit the ball. It's incredible how hard he hits it. And, like, I feel like if he can have a bounce-back year, man, that lineup goes to another level with Gleyber Torres, too. I think Volpe's going to have a great year. Austin Wells, a young catcher, love that kid. Great personality, can really swing it. So, you know, getting Stroman's huge and having Nestor and Rodon having a bounce-back year, because losing Garrett Cole for a couple months, you know, definitely hurts them a little bit, but I think that lineup's just so different this season.
That does hurt. That absolutely hurts, but you're right. The lineup is different. Sean Casey joining us. Speaking of different, Sean, the Dodgers, man, they just keep throwing money at it. They keep throwing money at it. Now, catcher Will Smith gets a $140 million extension. Easy to do when Shohei is deferring most of his deal. I understand that money doesn't guarantee anything. I understand you got to play it on the field, but on paper, is it the Dodgers and then everybody else?
Oh man, I do think so. I mean, the Dodgers are that good. When you're talking about three MVP candidates in the top of that lineup with Betts, Freeman, and Ohtani, and then Will Smith. I mean, don't sleep on Will Smith and what he's done, you know, in the last few years. I mean, 20 plus home runs, three of the last 4 years, I believe, and is a great catcher behind the dish. But that lineup, top to bottom, is absolutely loaded. And, you know, the rotation, and they go get Glasnow, they go get Yamamoto. I mean, you look at that team, and you have to say right now, you know, what they put together, it is the Dodgers leading the way.
It's opening day, Sean Casey. It's an opening day tradition here in the jungle. Case joining us. Speaking of not sleeping on somebody, Case, we can't sleep on our guy, Bruce Bochy. Comes out of retirement, wins his fourth World Series of his career. He's got a lot of firepower once again this season, even as he waits for Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom to get healthy. How much do you like the Rangers' chances of running it back and going back-to-back?
I really like it. I really like it, Romy. And you know Boch, man. Boch is the best. I mean, I'm so glad he came back into the game. And no big deal, dude. Take a couple years off. Yeah, come out to Texas, man. Hey, win a World Series, Bo. It's just another one for your, you know, for your Cooperstown resume. You know, it's incredible. But I really believe, man, that lineup that they have, the team top to bottom, and with Boch, you know, riding that, you know, leading the charge, I think they're going to be incredible. And I think the name that everybody is going to be talking about soon is the guy they just called up, Wyatt Langford, who made the team out of spring training. This kid was the fourth pick of the draft, I believe, last season at the University of Florida, flat out raked there, came into the minors this year, and he hit 360, I believe, last season, and then all of a sudden comes into spring training and just turns it on. So they got another impactful bat that Boch can put there in that lineup for Texas.
Sean Casey joins us for another moment or two. You know, Case, you talk about a young guy who all eyes are on. Matt Holliday, obviously a great friend of the program. Jackson is a great kid, great player. What do you think when you watch him, and what's his ceiling?
You know what? Elite eye-hand coordination, Romy. When I watch Jackson Holliday, I think, man, that bat plays. You know, the fact that he's got some sneaky pop in there. He can run. He's going to play great defense. But that bat to ball, I think is different, and I think that's why he was the number one pick overall by the Orioles. They saw something that was a little different in his skill set. I got a chance, was fortunate this offseason, my son Jake and I went out to hit with Matt and Jackson and his son Ethan, who's going to be an absolute stud too. But getting a chance to hit with them for like 3 days and the work that he puts in and just how good his routine is, you know, he's going to be a special player. The Orioles are absolutely loaded with some of the good young talent, and Jackson Holliday, you know, will be leading the charge for Major League Baseball for years to come.
That is awesome. Now, what about the Diamondbacks? Like last year, Case, they were a major surprise in going from 14 games under 500 2 years ago to a World Series appearance. Torrey Lovello, I spoke with him in the spring training, and he said, you know what, I'm telling you, we're going to surprise some people, and they sure did. Are there any teams that look to you like they might make that kind of a giant jump forward this season? Maybe not as big as that, but a big move.
You know what? I mean, obviously, when you talk about what the Diamondbacks just did too, with you know, with Wes Montgomery right there, you know, signing him at the last second into that rotation, that's huge. You know what? I'm going to say it because I'm out here right now, and it, not because I'm out here right now. The Cincinnati Reds, 82-80 last year, just over 500, but they believe coming into this year, the rotation that they have, you know, with Hunter Green at the top, with Lodolo, who is a special left-handed arm. You know, they got Abbott, Ashcraft, and Frankie Montas. That's a pretty legit five right there when you're talking about a team. And Elly De La Cruz, you know, skill set. Now, he came out the gates raking in August, struggled a little bit in September. But if you're talking about a guy that has the only chance, I believe, to match Ronald Acuna's 40-70, it would be De La Cruz and his skill set. So I just look at the Reds right now, and I say, you know what? Don't sleep on these guys. They were two games above 500 last year. The Central's wide open. I think the Cincinnati Reds have a chance to really be maybe the Arizona Diamondbacks of 2023.
Case, is 40-70 any good? Like, how crazy is that? How is that physically possible?
It's incredible. 40-70. It just, you know, when we were talking 40-40, you know, oh, man, look, only these guys have done it. But 40-70, I can't get my head around it, man. It's incredible.
All right, so before you go, give me an update on the Miracle League of the South Hills. What is the latest with that, Sean?
Romy, you're the best, dude. Yeah, Miracle League of the South Hills, man. I think it's incredible. We're serving over 400 kids now, which is amazing.
Awesome.
Athletes. The list keeps on growing. And we just had our big fundraiser, you know, raised a bunch of money. And we're you know, we got our league coming up in May, and it's just an incredible thing. We just had Muscles for Miracles with my buddy John Dennis, and it's just an incredible program, Romy. I appreciate you throwing it out there every time I come on, man. But, yeah, MiracleLeagueSouthHills.org. If you want to help us out, donate, or if you're in the Pittsburgh area and you want to come volunteer, I guarantee it'll be probably the greatest hour of your week.
Hey, I will always bring it up because it is one of the great, great organizations of all time. Sean Casey joining us. Don't forget, MLB Network is live right now with opening day coverage leading up to the showcase telecast of the Dodgers and Cards at 4 Eastern. Plus, check out Sean's podcast, The Mayor's Office, and he's throwing out the first ball in the Natty. Case, you are the absolute best. Love you, brother. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Romy, you're the best, bro. Love you, and I'm going to throw a strike for you tonight, brother.
Let's talk for a minute about O'Reilly Auto Parts, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road and offering helpful service and parts knowledge that you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. And they can also test your battery for free. If it needs to be replaced, they will help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. When you need a specialty tool to finish the job, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and ask about their loaner tool program. Simply pay a refundable deposit and borrow the right tool, then get your deposit back when it's returned. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Let me take a few moments and talk about Big Mike McCarthy. Now, there is plenty to say about Big Mike. I've said plenty about Big Mike. But here's one thing that nobody has ever said about Big Mike. Nobody has ever said they feel badly for Big Mike. Because why would anybody ever feel badly for that dude? He has an amazing job. It pays incredibly well. He doesn't really do incredibly well at that job. In fact, he doesn't do well at all, if you ask me. So I appreciate that Big Mike told the Dallas Morning News yesterday, quote, "Don't feel bad for me. I'm in a great spot," end of quote. I can appreciate that. I just did not need to hear that. Nobody did, because nobody does. And no, you're not. You follow me on that? Like, thanks for looking out, big dude, But just know this, nobody feels badly for you. You don't need to say, hey, don't feel badly for me. Nobody does already. I mean, where does that even come from? Nobody feels badly for you. And at the same time, nobody thinks you're in a great spot either. So what are we talking about? What are we doing here? You actually are in a bad spot, Big Mike. Nobody feels badly for you, and you're in a brutal spot. Should I remind you that you are a lame duck head coach? Bad spot. Lame duck. And no, I'm not talking about a Thai food dish. I'm talking about your contract and the fact that it's up after this season. Basically, Big Mike, you're on the clock. And you need to show dramatic improvements from last season. Except that Jarrah did not make dramatic improvements to the roster. In fact, he barely made any improvements to that roster, despite promising everybody that he would be all in. Jarrah still expects much better results, although he gave you nothing more to work with, because Jarrah is all in. It's just that nobody knows what the hell that means. Usually, all in means all in. Usually, it's not hard to decipher. Usually, it's not hard to tell when somebody or something is all in. But in the case of Jarrah, nobody would be able to tell he's all in if he didn't announce that he was all in. If you based it purely on his actions, you'd have no idea that he was all in. If you based it purely on his actions, you'd think he didn't give a damn. If you based it purely on his actions, you'd think that he thought, what does it matter? I'm getting paid anyway. I print money here. If you based it on his actions, you think that he gave up and was just waiting to die, which is the opposite of all in. So Jarrah is doing all the same Jarrah things, but Big Mike is expected to deliver a different result. Even though he just got his ass handed to him in Jarrah's house by a first-time playoff quarterback. You see, Mike, that's why you're clearly not in a great spot. You're actually in a pretty crappy spot. But to be clear about this, nobody feels badly about it. Nobody feels badly for you, not even Cowboy fan. Hell, Cowboy fan loves that you're in a terrible spot because Cowboy fan can't wait for you to get run out of town. Which is why Big Mike telling us, quote, don't feel bad for me, I'm in a great spot, is hilarious. It's like one of the most easily debunkable quotes ever. Quote, don't feel bad for me, I'm in a great spot. Yeah, well, nobody does. And no, you are not. Boom! Now you're done. One of the most debunkable and dunkable quotes ever.
Now I'm done.
And I just debunked and dunked all over you, Big Mike. And I'm hanging from the rim like Shaq after he dunked on Chris Dudley and then pushed him into the first row 25 years ago today. Saw that on X this morning. And I didn't do it because I feel badly for you. I don't. And I didn't do it because you're in a great spot, because you're not. What kind of statement is that? Hey, don't feel bad for me. Don't feel bad for me. I'm in a great spot. We don't. And no, you're not. And where did you get the idea in that thick skull of yours that anybody anywhere felt badly for you? Not related to you. Where does anybody anywhere who doesn't have the last name McCarthy feel badly for you? Nowhere, that's where. And who thinks you're in a great spot besides you? Nobody, that's who. Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anybody? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. We are joined right now by Houston head basketball coach Kelvin Sampson. Kelvin, my friend, good to have you back as always. How you feeling?
Jim, I know things are going well if I'm talking to you this time of year, so it's great to be on with you, brother.
My man, you and I always talk this time of year, so things are always going pretty well. Listen, you, before we talk about Duke, Kelvin, you were able to grind out that huge OT win over Texas A&M on Sunday. You said that Murphy's Law kicked in when A&M went on that 17-5 run in the final 2 minutes of regulation to tie it up. So let me ask you this. With so many things going wrong at the end of regulation, how much resilience and toughness did your guys show in getting back up off the mat to win that game in OT?
There's no question we did, but I think the thing that wasn't talked about enough was how great Texas A&M played. Buzz had a great game plan. Instead of running a normal traditional offense, he just spread us and drove us and tried to get to the free throw line. And then when our guards created separation and we had to get up to help, then they dominated the offensive glass. So their resilience and their toughness was just as good as ours was. We played a lot of really good teams this year, and I'm not going to rank them, but that Texas A&M team, that's the reason they've won five straight games in the SEC. They played tremendous against us. But our kids are, we had four starters foul out. We had to have a walk-on come off the bench and make a key free throw. They just kicked our butts on the glass, but our kids just kind of hung in there. As a parent and as a coach, you tell your kids, just keep showing up and working hard and good things will happen for you. I think that's really what that game was about. A&M was kicking our butts. We started kicking their butts and we're kind of going back and forth. And that at the last 2 minutes was just chaos. And then over time, our kids, I think, really showed what our culture is about and how tough we are.
Kelvin Sampson joining us. Kelvin, I'm so glad you mentioned that about A&M. I thought they played their guts out. I thought that Buzz did a tremendous job, and they did show a lot of toughness. You know, to your point, you had four guys foul out. So one of the amazing things about March Madness is when unlikely heroes emerge in those big moments. And you mentioned your walk-on, senior walk-on, Ryan Elvin. He attempted four free throws, Kelvin, the entire year. He made a key one with 17 seconds left to put your team up by those two possessions. What were you thinking when he stepped to the line in that pressure situation?
I was hoping he'd make the second one because I think the pressure, and he wasn't in the game long enough to get a sweat up. I mean, literally, he had just, Jamal Shedd had just fouled out, and the only eligible person left on our roster was Ryan. So if somebody else fouled out, we'd have had to play 5-on-4. So I said, Ryan, get in there. And as soon as he went in, it was our ball, and he got open on the baseline at the far end. One of their kids fouled him, and now he's going to the free throw line. We're up three with 16, 17 seconds left. If he makes one, it's a two-possession game. So to drag the drama out, Jim, he misses the first one. So now everybody's going, oh, no. The tension and the nervousness was behind our bench where our fans were was almost palpable. But it's just, this was Ollie from Hoosiers. This is your little son, your son practicing against the older kids or in the neighborhood. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? But let me tell you something. That kid is tough as nails. He's a captain. He never misses practice. He cooks for the team. He's the team's conscience almost. Ryan stabilizes us a lot of days because everybody loves him and respects him, coaches and players. So when he made that second free throw, and by the way, the net barely moved. That's how pure that stroke was. I put us up four, and I think everybody was just as excited for Ryan making it than it was for the Cougars making it.
I was going to say, Kelvin, it's one thing that it was such a big free throw and you had to have it, but the way you lay that out, everybody must have been so pumped for the kid. You mentioned Jamal Shedd. Obviously, that's a guy who can really make things go, but he's not alone. I want to ask you about Emmanuel Sharpe. He had a great game. In fact, he picked a great game to have arguably his best game. He scored a career-high 30 in that win. How far has he come this season in more than doubling his scoring average from a year ago?
Yeah, I tell you what, our game against – our first conference game on the road was at Iowa State way back in early January. And that was a little bit of his coming-out party. I think he had 20 in that game. But, you know, Emmanuel's made 82 threes this year. Now, L.J. Cryer's made 111. And I would think anywhere above 60, 70 free throws, threes is considered – he is a really good three-point shooter. But Emmanuel, from where he was when he got here, he didn't play the first 18 months because he had a horrific leg injury and had to have surgery. So he spent more time with the training staff and our strength staff than he did on the basketball court. And when he got back last year, he was our sixth man, but he still had a 8-inch metal rod in his left leg. And so when he went back home to Tampa, Florida after the season and they removed the rod, when he came back in July, he was a different guy. He was moving better. His athleticism was back. His swagger was back. And even though we took Damian Dunn from Temple as a transfer, who's really played well for us here lately, Emmanuel was just hard for him to beat out. You know, we had anticipated those two going at it to see who would start, and Emmanuel won the job, and when he got his swagger back, he's just gotten better and better. But being around LJ and Jamal has helped Emmanuel, too, because both those kids are very professional and mature in their approach every day.
We're talking culture. We're talking about leadership. Kelvin Sampson joining us. You know, Kelvin, TV cameras also captured a patch of the number 32 that your players are wearing on their jersey to honor their former teammate, Reggie Chaney. He was part of that 2021 Final Four team. He passed away last August. You brought him up when you addressed your team at halftime of that game. Why did he come to your mind at that moment, and what did you tell your guys?
You know, the way you phrased that question, Jim, was perfect. So at halftime, I think we were up by 5, 43-38. But our front line hadn't hit the drop. We didn't get anything out of them. JVA was in the witness protection program, Javier Francis, and Simon Roberts was nursing a sore or an injured left leg, and he was kind of limping around. I got the feeling they were feeling sorry for themselves. And, you know, you're facing 20 minutes where you lose these 20 minutes, you're probably going to go home against a really good A&M team. And so I brought up Reggie because I knew what he would do in that moment. He would fight. He would scrap. He would knock somebody's head off. I mean, he is a tough, tough dude. And he would be the last guy that would be sitting in the locker room at halftime knowing it's a game that is going to either send us on or send us home, feeling sorry for himself or not having had a rebound or not having given great effort. So I just looked at J1 and JVR, and I was addressing it to those two specifically. And I said, you know, these were the moments where I miss Reggie the most. Is when we're faced with this predicament on the road, in a hostile environment, even though it's a neutral court and we had fans too, but you know what I mean. But I said, J1 and Jay, what would Reggie do right now? And I made him answer me. That wasn't a rhetorical question. It was one that I required an answer. J1, what would he do? He just looked at me and said, I'm waiting, J1. What would Reggie do? He said he would fight. Then I looked at J1 because he this time last year, he was on this team fighting for us. And I asked Jay the same thing. He said he would fight. He said, well, then just do what Reggie would do. Go fight. And I think that's what they did. And that's probably what they needed to hear at that moment.
Kelvin Sampson joining us. Really interesting. You've got a big one coming up, Kelvin, of course, against Duke, a Duke team, Kelvin, that's gotten really hot at the right time. They pounded James Madison on Sunday. I really didn't see that coming. What are the biggest challenges that you think they present in this matchup? How do you feel about the matchup itself?
Well, John's done a great job of building this roster. They've got one of the toughest matchups, inside-outside guy in Filipowski. Mitchell doesn't get talked about enough. He's really good. And he's also their tough guy, their enforcer inside, their best defender, the terrific rebounder. Filipowski is the same thing. He is tough as nails, make threes, can post you up, really good interior passer. But it's Roach, McCain, those guards. I mean, I've been so impressed with the improvement of Proctor since he got there. So McCain, Proctor, and Roach, they're all three combo guards, but all three can play point guard. And I think that makes them extra dangerous because they know when to pass, they know when to shoot. McCain is not your normal freshman. That dude epitomizes swagger. He thinks he is the biggest, baddest dude in the room, and he plays like it. He might be a freshman, but he plays like he's their best player, and I'm not sure he's not.
I mean, you got to respect that, and you got to like that about a young guy. So, Kelvin, leave me with this thought. Like, the team has dealt with multiple season-ending injuries. As you point out, in the last game, you had four guys foul out. You could have been playing 4-on-5. So there's been a lot of adversity, yet you're right back in the Sweet 16 for a fifth straight year. I know nobody in that locker room is going to take a step back. I know you're going there to win that game. But given the sort of toughness and the sort of things they've overcome this year, I'm not asking you to pick your favorite team ever, but is this one of your favorite groups ever?
No doubt, and I'm glad you didn't ask me to pick my favorite team. I don't know who said this, but it's true. Comparison is the thief of joy, because I've enjoyed every team I've ever coached here. But this group probably has had the most adversity other than the very first team I had, because it started back in December when Terrence Arsenault, who had 19 rebounds in his two games prior to the game where he tore his Achilles and was out for the year. He was playing his best basketball. And then later in February, JoJo broke his foot, had to have surgery. And then right after that, Ramon Walker, who's kind of our culture warrior on our team, along with Roberts, sprained his lateral meniscus, and we thought he was having surgery, and he decided not to. But you know when all this started, though, for this team, Jim, was when Reggie Chaney died. That was our first adversity, you know, our biggest one, was when last year ended in late May, we found out that Reggie had passed away. That was a big hit. That weighed heavy on that team all summer, and we carried it into the fall. And then when the season, that actually happened in August when we got back from our Australia trip. And we carried that into our fall workout. And you could almost feel him. You could feel him not there. He'd been there the last 3 years. He started on a Final Four team. Key contributor to an Elite Eight team and a Sweet 16 team. And he was kind of my security blanket. So not having him there was a huge adversity. And then the season-ending injuries started hitting. And it was like, okay, we lost Terrence, we lost JoJo, we lost Ramon. But how does that compare to losing Reggie? And that's how I've been able to put it all in perspective.
Yeah, that's really heavy, really heavy. It seems to me, and I'm not there, Kelvin, I'm not part of the group, but it seems to me like that's not something you ever really get over, ever. You hope to get beyond it somehow, some way. but you never get over something like that, and you never forget it. Kelvin Sampson is in his 10th year at Houston, and they're on to the Sweet 16. As always, a very real and a very raw conversation. Great matchup against Duke coming up in Dallas tomorrow. Kelvin, I appreciate you making time for us and for me and for this show like you always do come tournament time. Good luck this weekend, and it's great to talk to you as always, my man.
Always here. Always same here, Jim. Thanks for having me on, brother.
So, let me tell you about something. The other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around. It's amazing. It's something different for fresh breath. It is an incredible product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is a game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else and you're making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't, because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. It's clinically tested against the toughest offenders, even garlic and onions. You just pop two or three in your mouth, suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. The product is nothing. The product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth. It then goes right down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. You're going to like having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath, or you get your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you're going to want it, but they will. They've got free shipping if you order three packs or more, and trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping. Go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com. Right now, you'll get 15% off when you use the promo code ROME. Zelmins.com. You do have to use the code ROME to get your 15% savings, ROME. We are getting down with the big head, James Kelly. Head, there are some sweet matchups in the Sweet 16. Generally speaking, how are you feeling about these games, and how are you feeling about your big-headed life?
Big-headed life is fantastic. I love these games a lot better than tomorrow's, that's for sure, as of right now.
All right, so how have you done so far in the tournament?
Good. I'm hitting about over around 60% so far in the tournament.
We'll take that all day long. All right, so if you like these games better today than tomorrow, let's get right. Wait, does that mean you're not coming on tomorrow?
Let's see how tonight goes, and then we'll text later.
Like the most big-headed thing ever. Let's not get into that yet. I've already set up that I don't like those games, and if for some reason tonight does not go well, let's not get into that. Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow, Head.
Okay.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow for sure. All right, let's start with Arizona v. Clemson. Arizona, a big favorite here, but Clemson finally busted through to get to the Sweet 16. If you like the Jungle Karma angle, they have that. And if you like them and value, you can get that too. Question per always, how much value is available right now? How do you see that matchup? How are you playing it?
Yeah, Clemson has worked me twice this tournament already, so bleep it. Let's go against them one more time and their karma and take Zona minus 6.5. The Wildcats are national title.
Is that down to 6.5?
Well, there's 7. There's 7.5, and there is one or two books at 6.5 right now if you jump on it.
Okay.
Yes. And I like that 6.5 a lot better than 7 or 7.5. And I like the Wildcats. They are national title good. If their backcourt of Caleb Love and Kylan Boswell are on, first two games they shot a combined 37% from the floor. Good news tonight, though, the Tigers are not an elite defense. They won't turn you over, and they will give up three-point attempts at a high rate. Yes, that would qualify for our WW double blowout of the stat week right there.
I apologize.
Thank you, Alan. I appreciate that one. The battle on the boards will be actually key here. Can Clemson keep Arizona off the glass? Arizona is second in the country in total rebounds. Also, P.J. Hall has been Clemson's best player this season, but not in the tournament. He's been in foul trouble. They need him and Chase Hunter to both be on, but I like Arizona's defense to make that difficult. They are versatile. Let's go with the ultimate jungle caramel team here in Arizona. You know, Tom Tolbert's Cats, minus 6.5.
Dr. Boudreaux.
You know, if you can get 6.5, that's a really good number. I love that Clemson finally broke through, and I really do want to take them. I want to take them in the points. I really do. I just can't. Arizona is in good shape physically. They've got experience. They're balanced.
Yes.
They play both ends of the floor really well. There's a reason they're a 2. Clemson has been up and down, but their best probably does not beat Arizona, but their best may keep it closer than the line would suggest. So I am tempted, but I can't do it. I'm with you. I'll take the Wildcats. I'll lay the points. We're on the same page.
Nice.
Got a rematch of last year's Natty, San Diego State versus UConn. And yes, for those of you who may have forgotten, the Aztecs did actually play in the championship game. They're back in the Sweet 16, one of the most underrated programs in the country. That said, let's hope this one is more competitive than that one was. The books don't seem to think so, Head. The Huskies have looked dominant. They are double-digit favorites in this one. What's the number right now? How are you playing it?
I'll lay the 11.5 points and ride with Feisty Dan Hurley and his Huskies here. Feisty Dan says they are bulletproof. If you have a problem with that, I'd like to tell you my advice. Shut up. They just might be. In the second round, the Huskies.
Shut up.
Shut up. Exactly. Don't question Feisty Dan here. In the second round, Jim, the Huskies beat Northwestern by 18 points while shooting 13.6% from three-point land. That would be 3 for 22, and they won by 18 points. That's from a team with the fifth-best effective field goal percentage in the country, so I feel they shoot better tonight. And the Aztecs probably won't shoot as well as they did against Yale when they hit 13 of 27 from distance. On the season, they hit only 32% from deep. Law of averages play here. One worry on a cover, pace. The slow Aztecs play faster than UConn does. I don't like that. But I'm going with Feisty Dan here and those dragon undies of his. He is 11-3 ATS in the NCAA tournament. It is the highest ATS win percentage for a coach with a minimum of 10 games since the seeding era of 1979. Huskies minus 11.5.
Great stat. How do you argue with that? That is a powerful stat. Look, as much as I respect Brian Dutcher and the Aztecs, my dude, Dan Hurley, may have a different team, but he's got the same exact mission and very similar outcomes. I love the guy. I love the team. I love the intensity. And I do feel comfortable laying the points. In no way should that be interpreted as disrespect for SDSU. It's just that I respect Dan Hurley and what he's built in stores that much. 8 straight tournament wins by an average of 22. I expect that to continue. I also will lay the points. Illinois, Iowa State. Now, that's an interesting game. Unlike the first two, this one is tight. This one is expected to be competitive. Question is, should I expect the clones to call you, Head, a jockey little bitch? Or will you take Illinois and any value that comes with it?
Well, big chalk weekend, it seems like, so they can call me that, but not here. I'm going with Illinois and taking the 1.5 you can get. First time back in the Sweet 16 for the Navy Blue and Orange since old raspy voice Bruce Weber's 05 finalist team. You know, the
I would have probably, you know, I would have never said that, but I didn't know how mean he was and how tough he was. And
that guy right there, the Greg and Sun Valley dude of coaches right there. Love Bruce.
Come on,
man. That's Mac.
They sound alike a little bit.
They don't sound alike.
Nothing at all?
One's got a voice box.
Oh, damn it. I thought Bruce did, too. My bad. Fascinating matchup here. Completely different styles. Illinois ranks first in the country in offensive efficiency, and Iowa State ranks first in the country in defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. This should be close. The difference might be on the glass. Illinois is relentless on the offensive glass. The Cyclones rank 197th in defensive rebounding percentage. Let's roll with Brad Underwood and Terrence Shannon, Illinois, plus 1.5.
I see you working. Listen, I also understand why folks love Iowa State. I understand why folks think that they're going to be the ones to knock off UConn. I'm just not one of them. I'm not even sure they win this game, which is why I'm going to roll with Illinois as well. Brad Underwood just came on like he always does, so I'm going to play that karma angle. And you mentioned Terrence Shannon. He's been lighting it up for the Illini. Yes, Iowa State will make him work for everything, and they'll be up in everybody else's grill defensively. That's who they are. That's what they do. But I've got a pretty good feeling about the Illini in this spot. Illinois and the 1.5. Damn, we're on the same page.
Nice.
Bama v. North Carolina. Nate just in the wrong place at the wrong time oats against your dude, Hubert Davis, who's got the Tar Heels back on track. What is the number? What's the play?
Yeah, I'm not taking Nate's team here, freaking oats. Speaking of the wrong place at the wrong time, that's been his defense this season. It's been like they've been in another
gym. What defense?
Yes, exactly. They suck complete ass on defense is what I'm saying. Worst defensive team left in the tournament. They rank outside KenPom's top 100 in D. So, hell yes, I'm riding with my guy Hubert and that live action he and his Tar Heels are all about.
We're competing out there. It's live action, Tracy. It's live action out there. I thought we were nervous at the beginning. Then we started to settle in. We got better defensively. Now we're attacking a basket. We're ready to go.
Are you okay with how Bacon is right now?
He's doing terrific. I'm so proud of him. I told you, 52%. Him on the floor is good news for Carolina basketball.
Thank you.
You love that guy. You love that guy.
I love Hubert. I love the hire. I love his resume. I love Hubert. It is about that live action out there too, Tracy. And Bacot is still on the floor, and he's—that's still good news
I
for Carolina. In fact, this entire game should be live action. Alabama ranks first nationally in points per game, but North Carolina can score too. And like 2 years ago, they have guys surrounding Bacot and R.J. Davis who can stretch the floor. One guy is Harrison Ingram. If he's aggressive on offense and the team is aggressive on defense, I love the Tar Heels here. And almost against anyone, ATS, get this one. My guy Hubert, 8-0 ATS in the NCAA tournament. North Carolina minus 4.5.
Wow. Hey, you want to talk about a wrong place, wrong time. Wrong place, wrong time is on the same floor as North Carolina in this spot. Wrong place, wrong time. Mm-hmm. Look, I know Alabama can score the ball. We all know that. I just don't know that they can prevent the same ball from going into their own bucket. Their defense is a problem. You and I talked about that. And when I say it's a problem because they don't play any. They're ranked number 348th nationally in scoring defense. So yeah. I don't really give a damn how much better they looked against Grand Canyon. Because it was against Grand Canyon. I will take the Tar Heels. I will lay the points as well. You and I picked the same exact games. Run it back, Head. What do you got?
Arizona minus 6.5 feet Clemson. UConn minus 11.5 feet San Diego State. Illinois plus 1.5 feet Iowa State. North Carolina minus 4.5 feet Alabama. And how thankful our Dodger Jano and Rogan Loam that the Grand Canyon Screamer is not in L.A. today.
They're coming together. They're going to make that run up to the crypt. Now,
that's freaking sweet. Are they watching both games?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sweet. Rogues was making some noise because Rogues is on spring break, meaning he went with his boys down to the desert, and he's going to come back. So they had this whole conversation. DJ's like, I don't want you tired. I don't want you tired. We need to be there. We need to leave at a certain time. I paid a lot of money for these tickets. Mama, are we going to both games? Of course we're going to both games. So they had this whole back and forth about it. So I have not heard from either one of them yet, but yes, they are en route to the crypt, and DJ's all about it.
That is going to be a blast. Good for them. Love it.
Love it. All right, Head, any prop bets or are you good?
Nope, just this.
All right, are you feeling threatened by Alvy? Because Alvy's on one on Prize Picks.
Yeah, he's doing pretty damn good.
Pretty damn well.
Pretty damn it. I did good today.
Thank you,
that.
Alan.
You did do good today. You did well. All right, let's make some money, Head.
Get later. It. See you tomorrow.
Later. See you tomorrow. And yes, I will see you tomorrow, Head. Let's talk for a minute about O'Reilly Auto Parts because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road and offering helpful service and parts knowledge that you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. And they can also test your battery for free. If it needs to be replaced, they will help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. When you need a specialty tool to finish the job, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and ask about their loaner tool program. Simply pay a refundable deposit and borrow the right tool, then get your deposit back when it's returned. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Let's start with the call-in beefs. Let's get it. Top of the hour, I've got James Kelly and Big Head Betts. I'm going to run them down top to bottom. Line number one, starting in the ATX, Vince. Vince, what's your beef?
Hey, Romy, que pasa? My beef is with those newly single moms who come near that section of my grandson's Little League game we call Silicon Valley. Dress appropriately. Nobody cares about your latest implant, nip, tuck, or Botox injection. Wore a Lifetime Longhorn T-sweat and Jera. The only thing you're all in is your mistress. Out.
Oh, Vince.
You don't like that car.
I don't like that car. Not a very good car.
I mean, I guess it's a step up. A very, very small step for mankind. A small step for you, Vince. A small step from wishing him death, but not that far removed. Let's go to John in San Francisco. Hey, John, what's your beef?
Hey, my beef is with people that call into radio shows and say, first time, long time. It's annoying and lame and nobody cares. Peace!
You're right. I mean, in a way, I think they want you to know, hey, Rome, or hey, host, I've been listening a long time. I enjoy your program, but I've never called. But yeah, I can see where that might annoy you. I'm the host, and it doesn't annoy me, but clearly it annoyed you. Let's go to Sacramento. Kenny. Hey, Kenny, what's your beef?
Sports guy. Nobody wants to look at your bony, hairy chicken legs. Hey, Magnum P.I., 1980 called in with their shorts back. Come on. Ladies and KC, where you at, baby? Blase, blase.
Alvin, go ahead and bring them up when they're on so I can hear what they're saying. Like, I missed half that phone call. It might have been funny, but I don't really even know. Anyway, Kenny, our apology. You deserve better than you just got. Let's go to La Quinta. Love La Quinta. Used to hang out quite a bit in La Quinta. Would hang out again in La Quinta. Mike, what's your beef?
Hey, Jim, my beef is with the jerks that stop their cars in the middle of the parking lot rows with their blinkers on because they've elected to wait 15 minutes for the little old lady to unload her shopping cart instead of parking the space a little farther down because those extra 10 steps is too much, which is fine. That's your choice. But you're blocking the row for the rest of us. Get the hell out of the way and move to one side or the other. I'm out.
Not the first time I've heard that, but maybe the best explanation of that. It's true. It is pretty annoying. Got that blinker on. Hey, man, throw the hazards on. Throw the emergency brake on while you're at it. Get out of the car and sit on your hood while you're at it. Or park and walk an extra 6 steps. You could do that, too. Yeah, I know. Every once in a while, it's the only spot left, so you're going to wait. I get it. But more often than not, that's not what that's about. You don't want to walk the 6 extra steps. Let's go to Tennessee. Edward, what is your beef?
What's up, Rome? My beef is with Cal. This team's built for March. You're 1-4 in the SEC tournament. You're 1-5 in the NCAA tournament. You got 4 or 5 stars coming in. Next year, win the SEC, Final Four. Otherwise, Jim, I'll help pay your airfare to get him out of Lexington, out of here.
I feel you. I got you. I mean, Cal did say, point blank, we are built for March. We are built for March. And they got beat in the first round of the SEC tourney. Then they got beat, shocked, stunned in the first round of the NCAA tourney. So not really built for March. And he was on record. But again, I'm going to go on record myself once again by saying, you don't run that guy right now. You don't pay that guy $35 million to go away. If you're Kentucky, you run it back. He's got like 5 stars coming in. Yeah, I know. Every year he's got 5 stars coming in, and what has he done with them? I'll tell you what they were before he got there. Ass. They were garbage. Yeah, I know. I also know he has not won a natty in over a decade. I know he's not been to the Final Four in a long time. What I'm saying is give him one more year, one more offseason to get right, analyze the program, analyze what he's doing, analyze what works, analyze what doesn't work, and if they get beat by a 14 or a 15 again, then I will take them to the airport myself. Which is effectively what that guy just said, except he said it a lot more aggressively. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Philly. Jay in Philadelphia. Good to have you, Jay. What's your beef?
Hey, Rome. Yeah, my beef is with a dude that just called from Tennessee. First of all, you're in Tennessee, and all of a sudden you're a Kentucky fan. Now, all of a sudden, you want to be fronting my man Jim Rome his airfare just so he can help his friend out of town when he goes out next year. Maybe give yourself a call back. Let him know what exactly.
That's not a good call. No.
Jay. You don't like that call. What are you doing, dude?
Not a very good call.
Where's the beef, my guy? Like, I think there was a compliment and you had my back in there somewhere. Where exactly was the beef? This is easy. There's got to be something you're not happy about. It's a beef. Get in, state your beef, get out. Don't start rambling around, reaching for something that's not there. State your beef, get out. Back to San Francisco, George. Hey, George, what is your beef?
Hey, Rome, thanks for the vine. My beef's with PG&E, a.k.a. Pacific Bag and Electric. They keep gouging me on my utility prices, yet my power keeps going out at least once a week for the last month. Get it together, you bums!
Well done. Except for the bum smack, but well done. You know, that's not actually bum smack. If you call somebody a bum because they're not good at their job, that's okay. If you're making fun of homeless people, a.k.a. bums, that's not okay. There is a distinction to be made. That was well done. That's how you do it. Next up, Baltimore, Bill. Hey, Bill, what's your beef?
Blaming, I have a beef with Ziploc bag technology, which I feel has taken a real step backward in the last decade. In the 80s, we established that yellow and blue makes green. And now when you open a Ziploc bag, one zipper comes ripping off the other side. I'm 5'10", 160 years old, and 50 pounds, and sometimes I...
Okay, bro.
No.
That was like really funny. I love that you had a beef with, quote, Ziploc bag technology, and you laid out what it was like 10 years ago as compared to what it is right now. The reason you got run, you stated your age. You said, I'm 5'10", 160 years old. That got you run. That's one of the only rules on the show. Do not tell me how old you are, even if you're just being sarcastic with your age. You stated your age. That's why you got run. That's it. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Tampa, Ryan. Hey, Ryan, what's your beef?
Thanks, Jim. My beef is with the documentary The Dynasty on Apple TV, this 10-hour expose on the Belichick-Brady dynasty. Where, I mean, could you wait longer than 2 days after you retire and after you get fired to do your tell-all? And then after 10 hours, it was 10 hours of avoiding questions. You got nothing to say. Brady says he thinks everything should be kept private. Belichick won't comment on Malcolm Butler or anything. Like, why'd you sit down and do the interview then? I mean, what are we doing here? Thanks.
I have not seen it yet, so I can't comment. I've seen some of the reaction to it. Julian Edelman was not happy about it. Bob Kraft was not happy about it. But I can't comment. I have not yet seen it. I will watch it. I think it was Bob Kraft's production company. Yeah, Kraft himself was not happy with it. Because it was too negative. Good. Good. You know, we don't need any more puff pieces. We don't need any more infomercials. I don't know. I haven't seen it. But if that many of the Patriots doesn't like it or don't like it, then maybe there is something there. I'll let you know when I see it. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to KC Joe in Kansas City. Hey, Joe, what's your beef?
What's up, Jim? Thanks for the vine. My beef is with my 9-year-old twins getting toothpaste all over the sink. Cleaned it up, guys. Thanks, Jim.
Yo, bro, at least they brushed their teeth. That's a win. At least you don't have to tell them to brush their teeth. That's a good start. Twins. Man, that's got to be something. I remember the first time, like a lot of you listening, when you have a child, I guess if you have twins for the first time, you don't know any different. But when you have your first child, it's so overwhelming, and the responsibility is so overwhelming that I can't even imagine that if they drop two off on me. But then if you only have twins, you don't know any different. Am I right? Anyway, I'm an empty nester now, so it's neither here nor there. Why don't we try Austin, Tim in Austin. Tim, what is your beef?
Thanks for taking my call, Jim. My beef real quick. All the naysayers talking about how the ACC is down. Got three teams in the Sweet 16. UNC is a one seed. NC State's about to make another move again. I'm feeling it. I got beef with all the other naysayers, including Mr. J. Biased. Not Bilas, people. It's Bias clones. He just sleeps Duke. Love you, man. Rack me, baby.
My man. People were sleeping on the ACC. Absolutely true. And they've had a good run. Can NC State keep that thing going? Do you have UNC? We will get into some of this with the big head. Top of the hour. Let's go to Solana Beach, Josh. Hey, Josh, what's your beef?
My beef's with high school, Jim. I got a kid in high school, and dropping him off is like running through a vortex of horrible drivers. It's like parents are in the middle of the street hugging their kid who's embarrassed. 16-year-old's driving like it's Daytona. Girls looking in the mirror. Now throw in the e-bike mafia and sprinkle in a few grandparents. It's like a victory to get through the parking lot. War, Solana Beach. Thanks, Jim.
Nice job, bro. Well done. Rack him.
Good night,